This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Telephone Tuesdays, a little bit of an experiment on the Mark Reardon Show. We got a few people on the line. You can jump in at 314-241-9797. So I was going to do this last week, and let me toss this out as one of the topics here, because I read this column in the Indianapolis Star, and the headline was, "Doge fired me, I'll be fine, but America's in trouble." Opinion. Peter Gaff is the guy who wrote this, and he talks about how he was in 2020 sworn in as someone who started a new position with the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. Right? His first with the federal government. And he goes on to kind of tell his story. He left Indiana in 2003. He had sort of orbited USAID. He says his first job was for a contractor. Then I worked with a series of organizations that received USAID funding in India, Haiti, and in the U.S. But this is what caught my attention. I don't know if it's going to catch anyone else's attention. He says, "My colleagues in USAID's Bureau for Humanitarian Assistance quickly put..." Well, let me back up a little bit, because the person who wrote this said, "I had never seriously considered joining the agency because they were working as a contractor. And the question that they asked themselves weren't government employees disengaged and uninspired working for a paycheck and little else?" So he says, "My colleagues in USAID's Bureau for Humanitarian Assistance quickly put the lie to such prejudices. They were passionate, tireless professionals, strenuously committed to the Bureau's mission of saving lives and reducing the suffering of the world's most vulnerable people." And this is the part that caught my attention. Okay. He says, "I saw them hop on planes with less than 24 hours notice to respond to disasters in Turkey, Pakistan, and Haiti. I spoke to them after they spent nights in the basement of a Kyiv hotel while Russian drones attacked outside. And I silently cheered as they prepared our top diplomats to try to stop a famine in Sudan." So I'm just going to stop right there. And I'll just see if anyone has a reaction to that. Because when I read that paragraph in particular, I thought about something. And, you know, this guy goes on and on talking about how this agency in particular is so important to the rest of the world, so vital to the rest of the world that people even here in the middle of the country, because he's writing it in the Indianapolis Star, you know, of course, people want to see a leaner government, but this is not the way to go. But I think it's maybe missing part of the point as well when it comes to Doge. Just a guess. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. You want to talk about the stock market tanking, Doge, any of these things. Now, apparently, I have a very familiar voice on the line here this afternoon. Hello, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Is this Chris in the country?
Hey, Mark, long time no talk. Chris in the country. Sounds like old days.
It does sound like old days. So, Chris, we've shared his story. He's going to come to the Fish Fry on Friday in Cottleville. He used to call me when Dave Klein was my producer, Sue, and Dave slapped him up there as Chris in the country, and we would take the calls. And you're always, in 2016 in particular, blabbing about Trump. Trump this, Trump that, right?
Right. And guess what happened?
Well, he was elected, and I think he was elected twice. But then Chris was shot in the head, unfortunately. 48 Hours just did a big piece on him. And you're writing a book that's going to come out this summer, aren't you?
That is correct, my friend. Has completed the design. I sent you a cover page, and you're featured in it too, which you know that.
Featured in it? I mean, leader of three or four chapters, I would hope, right?
Well, at least one. I mean, I got you your 15 minutes under 48 hours episode.
No, and I appreciate that. But look, you're going to join us on Friday at the Fish Fry, right?
Yes, I am. But I'm calling to talk about Doge, actually.
Well, go ahead. This will be like old times for sure.
All right. Well, this one really ticked me out because back a year and a half ago, I was looking for grants for myself to see if medical grants could help me heal in my recovery, because I was paralyzed, whatnot. But when I found out usgovernmentspending.org, which is a government website, .gov, that we can all look at, which came out way before Doge was ever around, okay? But I came across a study on what makes fish more drunk, tequila or vodka. $75,000 that we spent on that. So
$75,000. That would have kind of been a fun, experiment to take part in. But that illustrates the point, doesn't it?
Correct. I mean, it's just the waste and spending that we've been getting ripped off by this government, by our government for years, Mark. And we didn't even know it. You want to know why? Because we trusted them. We were told to trust our government. And they've been wasting our tax money. They may as well just be burning it, throwing out the window, making it rain.
Well, but what they'll tell you, what the other side will tell you is $75,000, that's just a drop in the bucket. That doesn't mean anything. You got to go after the real spending. $75,000, why do we even care about that?
Because it's 75 grand that could help me.
No, I'm with you.
And a lot of other citizens in our country. We're not the world's bank.
Well, I think that's a big part of it, and that's why I don't know if anyone will respond to the question that I had, when I read the USAID person, but we'll see if that happens. But, Chris, we'll see you on Friday. How does that sound?
All right, thank you, sir.
Take care. We'll see you on Friday. That'll be fun to have him at the Fish Fry. Jason, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Go ahead.
How you doing? I was in uniform, and specifically the Navy, and worked with USAID a couple of times. And Doge cutting that agency is a godsend for us. Each time I worked with USAID, they were arrogant, incompetent, and the aid that was delivered usually went to people that hated our guts and our allies' guts. So just putting it out there, good riddance to USAID.
Well, so let me piggyback on that, because when I was reading that, you had this guy making the case for all these things that they did in different countries, right? They were in Turkey, they were in Pakistan, they were in Haiti. We've had earthquakes and hurricanes and things like that. They're in Kyiv. And I get that, but my point would be, the whole goal here is to focus on American resources and put America first, right, Jason? That's kind of what Trump is all about, and that's what his supporters have kind of latched onto. So when you're making the case for USAID, like this guy is, look, this is a great organization. Maybe it is a great organization. Maybe we did very important things. But at this point in our existence, given the financial constraints that we have, given the fact that we're in $2 trillion in debt, we're going to go into a period here where we can't help people in Turkey, Pakistan, Haiti, and Kyiv as much. We have to help people in Chicago and in North Carolina and in Los Angeles. And that's what I think a lot of people are missing. We understand this is important work, but our taxpayer money should be prioritized, and it hasn't been. And I think you have a personal example of that.
Absolutely. I don't mind helping people when they're in trouble, but we have to target it smartly. And we can't be giving aid to those who literally would like to kill us.
Yeah,
and that's literally what I saw when I was in uniform. So the money that is currently being used in USAID, we need to cut a lot of that and recoup that. But some of the stuff that actually does go, some of the funds that actually go to help people, they could very easily be funneled through Secretary Rubio through the State Department and have the same effect.
Well, right. That's what I'm wondering. Are there ways to do this? Now, look, I don't know how you put all this stuff under a microscope, because you're going to have, we help the whole world, right? We do all this. We provide relief when there's natural disasters. We save people. But how much can we do when we're not doing stuff for American citizens? And I think that's part of it. I don't want to become, these are called, people like me now are called isolationists, right? So we were always isolationists.
Yep.
I get that there are things on the world stage that need to be addressed, and apparently people come to us because we have all the money, we have the power, and we're, you know, the place that everyone wants to live. But I do think we've gotten to the point, especially with all this stuff that's been exposed, the nonsense spending, it's easy to go after that, though, and say, look, this is embarrassing. We shouldn't be prioritizing this. However, having said all that, I still think we have to get to the real, you know, nuts and bolts of the spending, and unfortunately, that's the entitlement spending, and I don't know that that's going to be coming down the line. Jump on in here if you'd like to contribute. Telephone Tuesdays, 241-9797. 241-9797. We're back in a moment.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Well, we're taking phone calls on Telephone Tuesdays because Fred named it that, and I'm rolling with it here. 314-241-9797. So we have someone on hold who wants to talk about daylight saving time, and that's a fair game as well. Get to that here in just a second. Fish Fry Fridays continue at the Knights of Columbus Fish Fry in Cottleville this Friday. We hope to see you there. Jane will be on the roundtable. Former State Senator Jeff Smith and current State Senator Nick Schroer. Also, you heard from Chris Smith. He will be there in the 5 o'clock hour, so hope to see you on Friday in Cottleville. That'll be fun. In the next hour, Azra Namani will be here, who is a fellow at the Independent Women's Network. She's a regular guest. Dave Simons will weigh in on what's going on Wall Street here in just a bit as well. Plus, I'll have an audio cut of the day. Back to the phone calls this afternoon, at least a couple more. Hi, Barb. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just, first of all, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, you know, we didn't get in the mess that we're in overnight. It took years to get here, and it's going to take a while to get out of it, but we're headed in the right direction, and we're going to be a great country if we can just hold on tight. It's going to be a rough ride.
It could be a rough ride, but I think what you're saying is right, that there, and this is why people keep, maybe even in my world with, you know, political types, they ask me, what do you think about all this? I'm like, I love it, because I've been waiting for a lot of this to happen for a long time, and I wish there was another path. You know, Trump last week, one thing that hasn't gotten a lot of attention because it happened on Friday, but there was a cabinet meeting where things got really hot, and Rubio and Sean Duffy, who's the transportation secretary, were very concerned about some of the DOGE cuts. Elon got into it with Rubio, and Trump sort of sided a little bit with Rubio and his cabinet and said that we're going to start doing a little bit more of a scalpel when it comes to these cuts. And that's all well and good. But unfortunately, I think the scorched earth method has exposed a lot of things, which is why I'm at least a fan of it right now. But there's no doubt some people don't like it. There are people that are affected by it. And maybe they're going to scale it back. Bill, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hello, Mark and gang. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, so all week you guys have been talking about the time change. And, you know, Trump said it was a 50-50 issue. I mentioned, some of you guys mentioned the same thing as well. And I got to tell you, I'm living proof that it's not a 50-50 issue. I just don't want the time to change. You know, they could call it midnight. Right now, I'd be perfectly fine with it. Pick a damn time and leave it be.
You know what? Dude, I think a lot of people are on that same page, because it gets confusing, right? And then, you know, Fred was highlighting some of the sleep issues that people have. Yeah, pick a damn time and go with it. But we've been talking about this being a realistic chance at changing it for 3 or 4 years now, and it's not going to change,
no.
Is it?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm with Bill. Yeah, thank you for calling because I think he's right about that. Just pick a damn time and see what's going on here. Makriako, did I pronounce that right?
Yes, sir, you did.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow,
I was given a pronouncer. I can't believe I got that right. Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about Doge. A lot of that money has already been allocated, and if you don't stop it now and then go back and correct it, that'll be spent by the time he gets around to it a few months later, and you won't be able to bring it back. So I think it's good that he, you know, catches it now. Then you can correct the problem.
Right, but one of the criticisms of Doge is almost exactly that point. In other words, bear with me here. What they say is, look, this is money that's already been allocated, and you know these people have it in their accounts. So you're not really cutting any spending. Well, I think exposing it and making sure we can't go back to some of that spending is still important, and I think you do as well, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm hoping they can retrieve some of that, like Stacey Abrams' $2 billion. You know, she hadn't spent it yet, somewhere hiding in a bank. And
oh, yeah, but they spent it a little bit. You know how they spent it in Georgia, right? I talked about this yesterday. There was money. See, she tried to sell this as this pilot program, and then the EPA went for it. So they had a pilot program that said, and look, this is the thing about these left-wing causes. They in theory, they want to help people, right? Their hearts are big. They don't think with their brains. So just, this isn't that complicated. They came up, this is what they're doing in St. Louis with Tisch and this Rams money. They want to come up with these social programs, right? They want to be social workers. They don't want to do things the way that we used to because none of that works is the claim. But you have a situation, I think, with spending and with allocations to a lot of programs in this country that are just outrageous. And it's been exposed for the last month and a half. So if Elon has to cut back on Doge, my fear is, Sue, this is where I'm really worried. I'm worried that this whole thing that happened on Friday with the cabinet is probably not going to end well because people have been predicting this for the whole time. Elon and Trump, they're going to have a divorce. They sat during that interview a couple of weeks ago. Remember the Brett Baier interview?
Something.
Where they were both there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trump deflected. They were asked questions about whether or not, you know, there's tension in the room. Now, there was tension in the room on Friday during this cabinet meeting. Actually, I think the cabinet meeting was Wednesday. The reporting in the New York Times was on Friday. So it got hot. That's good. That's democracy. Make your case, Sean Duffy. There shouldn't be cutbacks here. Make your case, Marco Rubio. That's what they're doing. I like it. It's democracy. Seems to be working. Chris, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
So I'm just kind of curious. I mean, obviously, we're on this whole Doge kick, which is great. Find all this money that's being misspent let's just say the last couple decades, because obviously the government likes to spend a lot of money. But do you actually think anybody's going to see any consequences? Like, for instance, money being found being used through USAID to fund the Clinton Foundation and then the money being tied to Chelsea Clinton. Like, do we actually think that there's going to be any actual arrests? Because I can't imagine that's the only foundation that was collecting this money.
I don't think, I mean, you're asking if there's any crimes that are committed. I don't know that anyone's really alleging crimes. This is just the way that, you know, Washington works. It's the swamp. And to your point, there's a lot of people on the Republican side that have benefited from this, doling out the cash, right? That's part of it's part of the game in Washington. It really is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, I'll be the first one to say, I believe Democrats and Republicans, they're all crooked. The money pot's there. They're all putting their hand in the, you know, in the jar. Again, probably why they need to get to term limits where these people can't be in there for 40 years and just make money. You know, but again, obviously they're going to vote on that themselves, so it's never going to change.
Yeah, well, so, and there's, you know, thanks for calling. I really do appreciate it. The whole thing with, you know, it sounds good, you know, term limits. And let me tell you something. I was a fan of term limits in Missouri 30 years ago, and they failed miserably. So I don't know what the answer is, because what really does happen in government, and maybe it happens more at local and state level because the federal government is so damn big, but when you have people, and I think the last couple of years in the Missouri Senate are a pretty good example, you have people that are just in there on a temporary basis. They don't have, you know, long stake in the game. They don't want to think about policies that work and really think about things that actually would manifest themselves in positive things for Missouri. They just want to rabble rouse and stuff like that. Well, that doesn't get things done. And then you have them leave and the next person comes in and they don't have experience in the process. I got a great example of this. President Trump's first term.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
He didn't know what he was doing. They didn't know what they were doing. Not necessarily all his fault. I mean, he's an outsider. This time, they know the system a lot better. The experience. Everyone has been citing the experience because the experience has really mattered. I just want to go back to one point. I made this at the beginning of the show yesterday when it comes to government spending. And this is something that I think should be highlighted. The Washington Post had a story yesterday about cutbacks from DOGE to our nation's capital, to D.C. And they were talking about how this was $1 billion in cuts. That's a lot of money, right? $1 billion in cuts. Well, it was only $1 billion in cuts because the 25 budget was $975 million more than the 24 budget.
Right.
So in the Washington Post mind, in the legacy media mind, in the government spending mind, here's the headline. GOP spending bill would lead to $1 billion in D.C. cuts, city officials say. No, all it's doing is reverting back to the 24 spending levels. This is how out of control government is. Listen, just that's one example of one city where we send billions of dollars. And this is an example of a $1 billion cut just because we're peeling the money back and say, you know what? You need to live on the money that we allocated last year. Well, then the officials in D.C., well, this is going to hurt police and fire and, you know, all the things, all the essential services. Well, if you're depending on our tax dollars to run your city, which apparently they are, and I guess St. Louis would be in that category too, that's not the way that it should work. So I'm very curious to see how some of the stuff kind of works itself out, especially with the so-called cuts. And they're going to deal with that with the spending bill that they're working through Congress right now. Azar Nomani coming up after Fox News.
Get more at 971talk.com.